That's some real smooth ass shit. How you turn the damn timer off for the shit? The screen.
Oh.
Like to keep it awake.
General. I'm not gonna display right there.
Oh, auto lock. Never.
That shit hella smooth.
On me.
This is the Durag Discussion.
Damn, Logan, you spazzed out. I don't know what the fuck going on.
All right, man, what it do? Durag Discussion, Season 5, Episode 10, Episode 50 all time. I'm Bryce.
I'm Tev.
And
we got a special guest.
You feel me?
Very special guest.
Go ahead and introduce.
Take two.
The brother.
Shit. This is a dude that, well, shit, the reason the way I am, like, straight up, because of this man right here, whether it's shit, getting up and doing some shit, time, nigga, is fucking important. Don't be late, and if you late, it better be something fucking good, you're gonna pay, you know what I'm saying? yeah, I'm gonna leave it right there. It's my big bow.
Yeah.
Mr. Sailor, Trayvon himself.
Welcome. Good to have you, bro. Yeah, good to have you.
Blessings.
Appreciate you for making the time to speak with us.
Yeah,
man.
Thank you, bro.
And no. More than anything, give your opinion.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak on y'all platform.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Definitely an honor.
Thank you. So, how we start off every episode, past 7 days, past week, mental state.
Durag Discussions Week.
Durag Discussions Week. Sometimes we be on time. Sometimes we be early.
But we always on time, which is a thing.
Never late, just a couple days past when we would have been. You feel me?
So, but always on time.
Always on time.
Always on time. So what's your mental state for the past week?
It's been a 10. But again, it's, you know, frequencies vibrate. And they move around, constantly moving. So I can't say I maintain a perfect 10 across the board, but mm-hmm. we had a 10. And that's what we always striving for.
Exactly.
That's so great.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Love
you. Shit's been getting done. And I'm a happy camper when things get done. Cleans my space. Continue doing that in like a different way too. Sage my shit. You know what I'm saying? Pray over my shit. Just for this path that I really been talking about, God, that I want to go on, you know what I'm saying? So I'll say, shit, I'm on a 10 too, bro.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm on a 10.
Okay.
God's good.
Shit. I gotta be honest, bro. This past Durag Discussions week, it was rocky, you feel me? Not bad, never bad, you know what I'm saying? Never, you know, below where I should be mentally, but due to circumstance, like a lot of stuff was happening. Mentally, like, I feel like I got lost a few times, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, but then thinking back on like the past 72 and how I bounced back,
mm-hmm.
That's the shit right there, for real.
The bounce back.
So I'll have to say, for the past 7, the average will have to be a 6.5.
Okay.
That's it.
That's the bounce back, hey, grandma.
Talking about them butterflies.
Yeah.
But shit, you want me to send to the first thing? I will.
Yeah, this is you from a couple weeks ago.
All right, so I was listening to some, to a podcast actually. And there was, I want to say he's a professor, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But he was speaking on the vocabulary and the terminology of black men, right? Like the words we use, you know, even in our neighborhoods, just the slang we use, I guess you could say. Or
slang in quotes.
Exactly. So
I know what you're talking about.
We're analyzing, you know, from our own perspectives, the word soft and the word hard. Mm-hmm. And we both probably gonna have the same type of definition in different ways, but I think it's pretty constant, especially coming from the same city, same environment, you know what I'm saying? What?
Different eras of this environment.
Exactly, though. Different eras. Literally. Mm-hmm. Like, we're each a different step, right? Mm-hmm. Close steps, but different steps. So how can the word soft or hard be defined in our community? We'll each give our own perspective of it. When it comes to black men, when we speak to each other about, oh, you soft, or you're soft, or you hard, or you're getting soft, or whatever.
You know, our opinion, our interpretation, our perspective on how we deem the community to take it.
Exactly, exactly.
And not how, what we define it as. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to go both ways.
All right, fair enough. So we're going to live off of the community.
Because we've grown.
Right.
Right, exactly. Right. We offer the community. Mm-hmm. And the community may see it a certain way. And at a time, we probably, you know what I'm saying, we take in what our surroundings are.
Definitely.
Consciously or subconsciously. Mm-hmm. And then how we reflect on that now. You know, ways that we consciously, you know, make a decision on what that word would be now for us. Mm-hmm. So let's analyze the word soft first.
Let me start.
Go ahead.
Should I start?
You look like you're ready to jump in, dog.
I'm always ready. I'll say soft. Definitely goes into that O word Trey said, just straight up opinions, you know what I'm saying? How hard do I think like I have to be for one, for these people around me, or even for myself, if that's what I need to do to satisfy like my brain, let me act this tough, you know what I'm saying? Right. Or to get this attention from everybody else, let me act this tough, you know what I'm saying? So I don't look as like soft, you know what I'm saying? Because soft in this community leans more toward, unfortunately, the homosexual side, you know what I'm saying? And obviously, if that's not the way you choose to live your life, you don't want that to be what people perceive your life as, you know what I'm saying? So for some, they might feel like they have to over-exude out of hardness so they don't get looked at as that, like, soft. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like in terms of the, you know, homosexuality type, I don't even think it's like, well, yeah, it's that, you know, society, if you're not that, you don't want to be seen as that.
Yeah. But
even more than that, it's just being labeled as something that you're not. You know what I'm saying? Or that you feel you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But you definitely know that you're not. It's just, even if somebody were, I mean, literally in using this conversation as an example, like, oh, you ain't down to, you know, get rowdy, go off on, you know what I'm saying, throw hands, whatever, then, oh, you soft. But it's like, bro, I really am. I'm with the shits, but I choose my battles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to put myself in that environment, in that setting. So it's really just being labeled as what you don't want to be labeled as. And if you can react
on it. If you also leave, like, if you let other people's opinions, like, hold value in your head, you know what I'm saying? You straight up can know what the fuck you is and don't care what anybody else thinks you are.
Yeah, and that's what I was gonna lean more towards into. It kind of depends on, you know, who's the spokesman.
Yeah, like who's in charge.
Because depending on who the spokesman is, it's gonna dictate that perspective. mm-hmm. if you got the ballpark. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if you got somebody that's in the streets, their interpretation is soft.
Yeah.
It's going to be different from somebody that's like myself, that's not in the streets.
Yeah.
But, you know, we could take it there if you want to get on that type of level, like you was talking about.
We'll get on that type of time.
So, you could be, or we, from if we in a particular situation and that's our dialogue at that type of level, that type, man, stop being soft.
Yeah.
It could mean just that. But again, it just depends on,
right,
you know, who's doing talking.
Yeah.
So you could get that proper perspective. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, like to what you're talking about, that's what we could also call peacocking.
Yeah.
Like, right? Peacocking, another form of peacocking is we all chilling. Some bros walk into the arena, to the venue.
Mm-hmm.
You got that one, hubby, that one. You know, now he's super energetic, just poking out, either, you know, or trying to be overly, you know, hardcore with it or aggressive. Mm-hmm. Like, the correct term, trying to be overly aggressive. Shit, yeah, fake fighting and stuff.
Like, bro, chill out.
Chill out.
Like, that's, they don't even like that shit, bro. Calm down.
Yeah, you peacocking.
Yeah.
So that could be a part of that same arena, like, cats over, being overly aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, trying to overly masculine, you know, make themselves appear more masculine.
Or start talking down on other people out loud. You know what I'm saying? Like, when they shooting shots, like, oh, this nigga be on some other shit.
Extra loud and shit, talking that way.
I think if we're talking, like, some on a grown man level, like, if I personally tell you, man, like, you being soft. You're not having no backbone. You're not sticking to what you say you're supposed to stick to.
Mm-hmm.
You buckling under pressure. You being soft.
Yeah.
Stop being soft.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like this quote up on saying, man, you need to man up some more.
It's the same. Like,
you know, it's facial challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Don't turn your back to them. Don't run from your responsibilities. Handle business.
Yep.
And see, that's the definition. That's the best definition. That's the actual definition.
Yeah, I went straight to
you know what I'm
scenario.
Saying? But some people hear it, and then, of course, when you hear something, you don't want to hear about your, you know, not about yourself, whether it's true or not. Being told to you about you, the first idea is to react, right? Sometimes that reaction is a bad reaction. And the reaction is, in their head, they define it as, oh, okay. So, this nigga think I won't. Like, and that's what the thought is.
It becomes a challenge.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a challenge. And it's like, oh, okay, well, you challenging my manhood. It's like, nah, in all reality, you challenging your own man.
Yeah. She against you, my boy.
Right. Straight up.
So, like I said, like, that could be your reaction, but that's as we gain more wisdom, right?
Right.
Especially as men, men are not, we're not supposed to act off emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
We're blessed for what? Logic. So you use that thing up top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's playing chess. I'm playing checkers. Playing checkers is just going off of emotion.
Yeah.
Oh, he jumped my piece right here, so I'm going to jump this piece right here. And you ain't got no strategy to this shit. You got a
man in quadruple jump.
4x1.
Exactly.
Like, slow down. Yeah,
quadruple jump, and now you're sitting there over there scratching your head like,
oh, shit.
Damn, how did I see
get,
that?
Like, oh, damn, I get down four.
Exactly. I didn't see that. It's because he's acting off emotion.
Yep.
And then it's you straight in recovery survival mode at that point.
Because they can make a way, but let's not go there if we don't have to.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, like, you know, that same tip, like I said, like, get my opinions on what hard is. Hard is, you know, taking care of your family, taking care of your business, handling problems, handling situations.
Set aside the pride.
Yeah, putting the pride to the side. Like,
that's hard. On me, that's hard.
You know, controlling your emotions on the situation, you know, how you really feeling? If you really talking to your feelings, I'm about to make this whole everything. You ain't about to have nothing of you.
Exactly.
Like everything disappear.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's being soft because I'm acting on emotion.
Exactly.
Let me step back, analyze the situation, and make a proper play happen.
Yep.
Anybody can try to form and manipulate the space, the situation into what they want. Anybody can do that.
Yeah, if they know your buttons are pressed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's if you soft. I can push your buttons.
Exactly.
If you hard,
there's no,
I'm not penetrating.
Exactly. There's no give. Like,
diamonds is hard or soft.
That's perfect. You're can hard. You pull up dictionary definition?
Soft.
Let's do hard first. Hard. Yeah, go soft. Because literally what you just said, I think it's exactly it, bro. Exactly.
easy to mold, cut, compress, or fold. Not hard or firm to the touch.
If you, that's a physical definition, mm-hmm. of course, but you change it to what we made it, that intangible thing, right?
It still goes. Don't let nobody mold your brain.
Don't let nobody should be able to, you know what I'm saying, change, manipulate, penetrate, harm, none of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're in control.
And that's in terms of your peace, your soul, your...
your mental state.
Yeah, all that. Your expression, whatever the case may be. And what are some of the things that changed our perspective on that?
For me personally, which was time and experience. That's why I loved going to the military. In retrospect, right? Even when I was in, there's a lot of stuff I enjoyed doing.
Damn, I didn't include that in the damn intro.
But
the background.
When you, my pops should tell me, you can't tell me nothing. I think I'm quoting this right. You can't tell me nothing about the backyard if you ain't never been in the front yard, or vice versa, something like that. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if you ain't never got out your backyard, I know people, plenty of people ain't never really left LA County. Might not, or might have probably went to Vegas or something, got out,
right?
So, at least my exposure to the actual world, your perspective is going to be so small.
Mm-hmm. Because everything that is around us is humongous.
The world is
humongous. Chad says it all the time. We're so small.
Yeah.
So small. So our perspective, until we start getting out about and traveling and, even being more open to conversing with, somebody that's just random, somebody that's different, not the same background, same culture, same ethnicity or race. Even if they turn out to be an ass or whatever, you're getting a lot more perspective. So when we look at life, and my grandpa decided to put life down to me, that's why he's so, it's like a sponge when it comes to knowledge and information. It's like a walking encyclopedia. You can ask the man anything. He's going to know something about it. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
He was a walking Google before Google had invented, bro. It's crazy. He looks at life as being a big puzzle. So the more you learn about stuff, more perspective you get, that's another piece to the puzzle. Mm-hmm. Trying to put together this puzzle of life, make it all make sense, trying to figure it out. So the more perspective you got, the more pieces of the puzzle you potentially have in the play. It might not be the right pieces for that particular section that you're looking at, but it's still a piece to the whole puzzle. So it might not have a clear picture, but your picture is at least a picture.
Sometimes when you get through a puzzle physically, you get everything around it right, and there's that one piece, and it's easier to find because you see exactly what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. But you gotta go and get those pieces.
Yeah, find it.
You go and get them.
And all the chaos. For sure.
So I think the more exposure you get, the more experiences you get, whether it's from traveling, conversing with people, even the easiest way to gain perspective. Simplest, easiest way. Read a book. I could go get perspective on a white dude from 17th century in Europe.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Let me see.
You get perspective.
Yeah. What were we saying last
Anything
week?
Anything that happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
On back. You get perspective.
Newspapers, whatever.
And then your actual experiences that give you perspective on here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on here. And what's happening present day. Mm-hmm. And through all that, you go come across obstacles and challenges and stuff like that. And that's going to help you to determine which could be your definition of soft or hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing is that definition may never change for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
And that becomes that reality.
Yep. So that's all they've seen. That's all they've been exposed to. Mm-hmm. That's all they want to accept.
Yep.
Because it's hard to accept one thing for being that one thing if everything else that you're seeing outside of that ain't what that one thing is telling you it is.
Yeah.
It may be some half-truths or even three-quarter truths, quarter truths, whatever the case is, but guaranteed it's not about to be exactly what they're telling you.
Yeah.
Exactly. And shit, especially when you're younger and everything around you is by a system, by a program, what it seems like. It's so difficult to be different.
Yeah,
you don't think differently.
You're in survival mode.
Exactly. And everything around you is going to say, what the fuck you doing? What this nigga over here doing? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Y'all see that shit? Like
doing what they doing.
Yeah, what the hell? What
what's up with that?
Right?
Then they get looked at as fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this world should be in like a fucking more open space, literally, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Like you learn that though, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you get older, you know, perspective changes.
Yeah, absolutely.
From, you know, for ones that are fortunate to get that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you start to see, no, because if y'all, everybody got that same perspective and y'all are getting the same damn results on everything, and I can see this for time and time again, generation to generation, and then I look at the one that may not fit exactly what we was on,
mm-hmm.
but going a whole different route, and he's actually where these niggas is trying to get.
Something.
You're doing good.
For real, though.
No, this,
that's real, because if you see something not working over and over and over and over again, and you just getting through, and if shit, the way our minds is, I got to get better. I got to continue to get better. If I hit this and I'm seeing the same thing over and over again, there's a next step,
now,
and it ain't going to be down.
Now, ready for this? That's being soft, in my opinion. If you're doing the same shit over and over and over and knowing that it ain't about to get you know, the results that you actually want.
Soft is comfortable.
Exactly. Mm. Instead of going the hard route and actually being hard.
Yeah.
How you think a diamond gets its value? You got to get cut multiple times.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It got different multiple facets on it. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, you got to go through some pressure and get your shit cut up and all that. So you can actually become hard and valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I say, you want to be comfortable, you want to be soft, you want to keep doing the shit that you know ain't about to get you to CZ. Where you want to get to.
CZ.
Yeah, go be a CZ, fam. Go get pressed and be identical to everything else.
Go ahead.
But not have that real value that you want to emulate, that you want to have.
Mm-hmm.
That you want to be soft mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And also physically as well. In spite of whatever rah-rah it is, or not even on street stuff. Like, so you can take. Or some people didn't be a total square bear. But if you want to continue being soft and knowing hard enough to go do the extra stuff you need to do to actually stand up for himself, if he do got a dickhead boss, or matter of fact, you know what? I actually do know more than these people. And I know exactly what needed to get done. They want to reject my ideas. Okay, well, go be hard and go start your own shit,
mm-hmm.
build it up, and do what they didn't allow you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be soft and just stay in that same position and bitch about it. And
straight and up. Continue to be
stay right the fuck there.
Stay the same
but know damn well, like it's crazy to hear people complain about.
Man, ain't nothing going right. I'm tired of these motherfuckers. Ah, fuck! Like I can't stand these.
But like you choosing to be around this, you always choose your environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, choosing to stick around, you know, and. It could be easier said, you know, if you're not in a bigger position.
To an extent,
But it is, you know, people that have extreme amount of pressure. Now, at the end of the day, the question is, how much pressure are you willing to put on yourself,
mm-hmm.
put on your loved ones, put on those who's close to you? Because it's not just you that's also going to go through that journey.
Exactly.
It's those who's around you is also mm-hmm. going to get some piece of that. They ain't going to bear the whole thing, but they're going to get mm-hmm. some piece of that. Mm-hmm. So, how much pressure you willing to put on?
Yeah.
If you got two kids and you working two jobs and you know, or that's just this is your mentality, and then if I pull the cord on one of these and do what I really know I need to be doing and what I really want to go do,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could deal with that strain that's going to put on. Okay, then that's everybody got options. How much risk you willing to take?
Straight out.
And I'm not saying person that turns that down is being soft necessarily, but to a certain extent, yes. It's depending on.
It's in the dragonfly, maybe.
It depends on how much risk you want to take. If you know, like, hey, like, I'm cool right here. I don't have no aspirations to do anything else. Okay. Cool. That's where you at. You're smooth.
Yeah, you're
but if you're at this position and you know you want to get to that next level or that third level and you're not accepting where you're at right now, but you refuse to do something about it despite whatever circumstances you have, mm-hmm. you're being soft.
That's straight up soft. Straight up talk.
Think about God, man. He gonna start letting you know when you're ready for some new shit. He gonna put it there. He gonna open that door up. And he gonna leave the latch on the lock flip. It's just gonna be hanging, right?
It's up to you.
You gotta take that latch off, open the door, and walk in. Like, you gotta take it. You don't just leave it and be like, all right, here you go, on a silver platter. Bow! I wish, but he don't. And actually, I don't wish, right, because that's exactly what
that's how
what
you
I,
turn soft.
That's how you know. Soft. That's how you know that you built for it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, man. That's the luxury part of it. It's just like goal setting, right? And we could, this is about to take us off course a little bit, so I'm going
to
ask.
Welcome to D-Rag Discussions.
Continue. All right, so.
Ain't no course.
Prime example. This is what really, I really learned what goal setting is when we look at it as a system. Once again, my military thing, once the infantry ranger, et cetera. Cool. Did that plus some. Did what I wanted to do, even though I met opposition, even though I met temporary defeats or failures. Learned from it, went back, and after the beginning, got what I wanted plus more. That's a form of my sergeant major, which is like the highest list, enlisted rank. Sergeant major of my battalion was pissed that I was getting out the army. Mm. Like, that nigga was hot.
Hey, mama.
So, before I got out the army, I got to a point after, probably like 6 months after my last deployment to Afghanistan, I just felt like a ugh feeling. And I couldn't, like, it took me years to really figure out why I had that ugh feeling.
Right.
So I had that ugh feeling, and like, I'm not feeling like me. I'm not even working out like I normally was working out. Like, I'm just not me. I'm not feeling like myself.
You feel like you had a plateau, like, or something.
Like, so I couldn't figure it out. Then that's when I got hooked up with the PD thing, started doing my thing with PD. And I was like, shoot, I'm going to do PD. You know, I work the streets, might work gangs or whatever. And I really wanted to be in the SWAT team. Came in there, got the PT award for the academy for the males. Made SWAT team my first 18 months. First time I took the physical to get in a SWAT, a little obstacle course. No cap, I had like a quarter of my energy left in my tank. Just paced myself, and shame on me, I should have just gave it 100%. Paced myself out a bit, I still had a quarter of energy in the tank. Missed their record by like 11 seconds. And I could have squeezed that 11 seconds.
Damn. Like, how'd that happen? Was there like a clock up or nothing?
Nah, no, they just told me.
That's some bullshit. What clock that? Give me the scoreboard.
I didn't know what the record was. I just was just doing my shit.
Right.
Just
like,
some stuff out.
Ease up.
Walk out, like, walk through, like,
it was still like, it was a gasser.
Yeah.
It was a gasser, but I could have squeezed more than 11 seconds out, to say the least. Like, you know, did the SWAT team thing, did the gang thing, and like another 4 years go by. And I get hit with that same ugh feeling. I'm like, man, like, what? Like, I'm like, hold on, man. Like, I've been here before. Like, hold up. I mean, so I was still trying to figure that out. And then I transitioned, started doing narcotics, did a whole bunch of shit with that. That gave me a little temporary, like, juice, but then that faded off. But mind you, by this time, we already started sales with coffee, some other things I got in motion. So when I really realized it was one, in both the military and when I was doing the police thing, I shortchanged myself. And I think that's the real definition of shortchanging yourself. We don't realize how capable we are of achieving our goals and our ambitions, because we may set them not realizing how easily attainable that is.
Mm-hmm.
So then once you get there, you didn't even think past that. You didn't have nothing else on this particular path laid out for you, and hit, you didn't check all the boxes and got some extra credit. So now you're like, well, shit. We here now, like, this ain't.
I need more. This ain't challenge.
I need more. I can't just settle for this. Yeah. Like, what? No, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Then I got into the PD thing. Banged out my shit out. Same thing. hit the brakes, like, all right, now where we going? Right? So with that, I realized they teach you short, medium, long term. But I think the thing I forgot to mention is it's a continuous cycle. Because you'll write today's short-term goal, a month from now, could be that day 32s.
I got the best example for it.
Short-term. The midterm is short-term, long-term is midterm, and I got a new long-term.
Yeah.
Right.
And you need to keep it turning.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep it turning. Like a treadmill,
keep that motherfucker just coming straight back.
My example, see, when you like in elementary school, right? Somebody gets you $10. You like, oh, I got $10. What? You know how much candy I could buy with this money?
I got 10 hot.
Then you get that first 100. You like,
I ain't never had one of these before. You feel me? Like, hold on a minute.
You see that first 4 digits. You like, oh. But then at every point, by the time that next zero pop up, you know what I'm saying? You thinking like, man, this 100 ain't doing it no more. This shit ain't stretching the way it used to. Hold on a minute. Like, and then you get that 4 and then you like, okay. And then you start getting that consistent. It's like, oh shit, yeah. This ain't stretching as much as it could.
This ain't shit.
You're like, this really ain't shit. Yeah. You see that 5, you like, that's cool that first time. But about a few times in, you like, all right, this shit's starting to go fast too. Like, that's what that feeling is for me. You know what I'm saying? You get older, you grow more, you get used to a certain thing, and you're like, all right, it's time to add a zero.
Yeah, it's that. You just realize your full capability, man. Like, just, life is short, but it ain't. It's short, but it ain't.
Like, right,
if you decided not to, like, man, fuck it, I'm just about to be the, I'm not about to do nothing. At all. I'm not about to do nothing. I guarantee you, life is going to probably seem so long. So long. Right? As opposed to, I mean, what if that's the real fast track? We're just getting on your course and staying on your course. Mm-hmm. It's like playing Mario Kart, nigga, get all the coins, man.
Right. You get on that little
weed, you might have to jump.
Yeah,
get all the coins. Skip, like, roll, slide.
But that's what I really learned, like, so. That's you're gonna have to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Straight out.
You know, cause I don't care. Some people tell you, well, we had no goals. No. I truly believe everybody has some type of goals.
Exactly. It's just up to you whether you thought it was attainable or not. Even if you didn't think it was attainable, you decided or didn't decide to go for it.
You're being hard or soft.
Say that.
Just being hard or soft on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's and the cold all part.
Came full circle, baby.
Yep.
On you.
But, damn, we bought that shit.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here, dog. Yeah, I'm glad you're here, baby.
Okay,
that's hard. But, real quick, we're going to talk about our prop this week.
Yeah. We only got
usually
one.
We do props and ops.
Prop is good.
And the op for the week is the op for the week. Yeah. Today,
we ain't got no ops, man. Good vibes only.
Good vibes, good vibes, good vibes. You know what I'm saying? High vibrations. So, we spoke on Nas being in my top list earlier and on a few episodes before.
Yeah.
But also on that list is Lil Wayne. And our prop for this week is Lil Wayne. Did you get a chance to watch
it? Yeah, I watched it, bro. That shit was hella good.
Have you seen his interview on Uncomfortable Conversations?
Yeah.
So, Wayne had, when he was 12 years old.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, he called this dude.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I need to talk to you. Doesn't know him. Just following his interviews, right?
Yeah, I met like once before, something like that.
He said, I just want to talk. Which is big.
Yeah, for somebody that struggles that shit to be, like, to want to talk about the shit.
And the topic that he wanted to talk about was mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which we're big on just with this recording. Like, really, this is what it is for us. Like, this hones our mental health, helps us recognize, realize what's going on in our heads, And that's what it is for
keep
us.
It straight, yeah.
But he spoke on the first time he experienced mental health and knew that he had mental health, you know, issues with his mental health, right? And that was at 10 years old, I think he said. And then by 12, I'll just give a snippet of the story, but he was, it was like the last few weeks of school. You know how last few weeks of school, you don't be doing shit. Like, the teacher's just like, go sit over here, y'all can talk, whatever the fuck. Like, play some more games. Like, whatever the fuck. But he wasn't telling his mom that he was getting out early.
He had 3 half days.
Right.
He told her he had 1. So he stayed out like it was regular school day, the other 2.
Right. And then we just popped back home.
She found out, of course, because moms find out every fucking thing.
And at that point, he's writing music. He's making music. Right. And his auntie had called him while he was out. He's like, hey, your mom knows. In the ditch in school, like she said, she gonna throw away all the music shit.
She can't whoop your ass.
No music, no nothing.
Your folder's gone. Don't even think all about it.
And he spoke on like his mom at that point. Can't tell her shit. Like what it is what it is. Yeah, we've all experienced that
for sure.
It is what it is. Like how you feel, don't nobody give a fuck. Like,
ain't broke from New Orleans.
Yeah.
So,
right. So, and he said he went home and nobody was home yet.
Hello.
He just dealing with that, being told that he couldn't do music no more. You know, do what he loved, do how, what his,
she died.
You know, mechanism of coping was.
Mm-hmm.
Which is perfect because we're going to go into that later on. But he sat there and was looking at himself in the mirror. I won't spoil it, but got to a point where he shot himself.
He said Biggie was playing in the background on the TV. He looked at the mirror.
He
put the gun up
in the mirror
to his head.
Biggie
and then
music video in the back.
The music video.
And
he's like, turned around, shot himself, aiming for his heart. He said he didn't feel nothing.
That entire time.
The entire time, didn't feel a thing. Like, on the floor.
12 years old.
Bleeding out, didn't feel a thing. But, I'm sorry to spoil it, because I'm going to. That's just what I'm about to do. Prior to him getting the gun and going to the house, he called the police already when he was on his way, saying, like, something was going on. Like, he shot himself or something. So he said he's on the floor, and he hears a banging from the police, and I like woke him up, and he said the room was all white that he was in. So all he, like when you're a kid, you think you gonna see the bright light when you go.
Don't
see.
Go towards the light.
Yeah.
Right?
He was like, that's all he was seeing. So he said his eyes were open the whole time, but like the banging like brought him back. He said it was enough blood coming out of his body, it helped him slide to the door.
And right when they was about to give up.
He was,
cause they don't hear nothing. No. They just, oh well, shit. I guess we.
No, that was gonna bust through the door. So he started kicking the door.
No, remember? So when he gets to the door, he kicked it,
yeah,
and then they're like,
it.
"Somebody's in there."
Yeah, somebody's in there.
That's what it was.
So they bolted it. So took that shit off the hinges. Cause they knew he was right there. All the police officers were like, ran straight through the house, hopped straight over him. Oh, we found the drugs, found the gun, we found everything. I think the sergeant or sheriff or something, was like, y'all don't see this fucking baby on the ground? Like, with a fucking hole in his chest? They were like, Sergeant, we found it. He was like, stop, what the fuck you doing? You don't see this fucking baby on the ground? Wayne got blood in his mouth and he's like coughing up, trying to talk. He said, I'm trying to tell the officer, I'm not a baby. The whole time. He said for 30 minutes straight, he's
that's
trying,
the most
I'm not a baby.
Shit ever. I'm not no baby. He said even when they picked him up, took him to the ambulance, all that.
I'm not a baby.
I'm sitting here still trying to tell him, I'm not no baby. Like, who the fuck are you talking about?
So he said that officer, that's the one that saved his life. I think he said Uncle Bob or something like that. Yeah, shout out Wayne. Thank you for that story, bro. I need that lifted up today.
But just thinking about how difficult that must have been to talk about. And the fact that he went out of his way to be like, no, people gotta hear this.
Yeah.
And at one point, like, he was just talking about, like, mental health is real.
Yeah.
Of course. But then, whatever your mental health is your mental health. Like, mm-hmm. How you feel is how you feel. Like, people love to be like, yeah, but I ain't gonna do like what those people over there gonna do or what this person gonna do. Or, so I'm not, I can't complain about it. And I'm definitely subject to that. Like, I felt certain, like, in very many ways, like, a lot of situations, like, man, I ain't got nothing to complain about, bro. Like, why am I feeling like this? Mm-hmm. And try to put my own feelings aside.
Mm-hmm.
And, shit, the only way to grab a hold of your mental and your mental health and yourself is to accept those feelings and learn how to, you know, look into yourself, learn about yourself, and find ways to, you know what I'm saying, not discredit it, but find a way to move and grow from it. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to sit down and kind of be like,
living it.
Yeah, just live in it, yeah. Or
find even a solution. Help yeah, you, like, try to get yourself out of it. Like, mm-hmm. Saying,
because shit. I mean, there is a point where you get comfortable in that shit. You know what I'm saying? You sit there and you just like, ain't no point in none of this shit. Just give up, or just stay where I'm at. Like we was talking about.
Never give up.
Never give up. Just means you're ready to grow.
Yeah, it's that point in time, because I could have easily fell into like a depression with those two examples, mm-hmm. Right? Not feeling like myself, the shit just feel off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the longer you stay in, it's like quicksand.
Mm.
The longer you stay and just try to sit in there and move around in there, and not work.
Take you more.
It's gonna take you there. So like the moment you feel like you're starting to tread into something that's leading to some quicksand, your best bet is figure out how fast can you get the fuck up out of there. Mm-hmm. But that comes with experience, that comes with wherewithal, and doing something that a lot of people don't do until a certain point in their life, or if ever, gotta self-reflect.
That's always it.
You gotta self-reflect.
Yeah.
I give you answers to a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Solve a lot of shit off your plate.
Yep.
But going on with that, like, that's kind of why, like, my mental state for the week was out of 6. Right? Because those first few days, and I've been cool. Like, I've talked about it a few times in the past few episodes. Like, this past 6 months, I've grown so much. Like, learned myself. You know, learned just different ways to reach to God and get to God and for him, let him have access to me also.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But then, like, the devil just started nipping at a nigga ankles, bro. And, like, you feel that? And I'm fighting it, you know what I'm saying? Never fold, never none of that, but it gets exhausting. I hit that moment where I was just exhausted, like, fuck. And then past like 5-4 days, just been bouncing back, taking a little step, taking a bigger step.
That's good.
But the way I've been self-reflecting is through writing.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to make no sense, just writing.
Stream of consciousness.
Exactly.
It's flow.
And just going. I read back on over it, just going.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then watching that interview with Wayne definitely brought shit like, oh, okay, like this just ain't like some random only me shit. Like, it's easy to think that way.
Yeah, like, for sure. It's easier than getting to that mode.
It's hard to think that somebody else is going through that, but always someone else is feeling that way or has felt that way.
Mm-hmm. Or no, somebody has felt that way. Said that shit on here before.
And then in the same night, sat there and Tupac, some like, documentary, I guess, but it looked like it was like a whole episode series. That shit was started playing. And seeing how he thought, because I've actually, even before watching that shit, I bought a book with a bunch of his poems.
Oh, yeah. The Rose of Grief and Concrete?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Bought that. I've been reading that for like the past month now. Just seeing the shit he's saying. And then to see him speak, and he was just talking through these interviews. He's like, at one point, he was like, at one point, niggas in fucking the penitentiary, this said, that said, on the East Coast, West Coast, they were all looking at me like, what are we doing? Everything they portrayed of Tupac was like this fearless, I ain't tripping on shit that's going on around me. But to see that, like, bro, everybody at some point fears.
It's part of this human experience, bro.
Bro, I wanna
where you at.
I wanna double back on your stomach. So you're just feeling exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? An antidote for rejuicing yourself. And that's where it comes where you have to make sure you got where you develop having to wear it all.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Like rejuice yourself.
Making sure that one, that you have a definite sense of purpose, which is a goal. And two, that you're on path and you're actively pursuing that goal. And three, which is one of the most critical ones, the ones that actually about to hit you with. You know, when people, you know, they pass out, their heart stop.
Oh, yeah.
ETG, forget the name of it, but they clear.
Like, yeah.
You want to get one of those, think about your goal and hold that before you mentally. Because then you're going to get excited, start thinking about it. Like, that shit, should excite you. If your goal don't excite you, you should probably get a different goal.
For real.
Because you should feel that energy flowing just off the thought of that.
Right.
What's it going to feel like after I accomplish that? You got to get chills about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to wake your ass up and you'll get some more juice. All right, come on.
Let's go. Sure.
Straight out. That's how you internally amp yourself up, motivate yourself. Right. And the first two, I do and I've done. That last one, I don't. Because I'm always thinking of what my purpose is. And like I said it before, my purpose at this point is to help people. That's what makes me feel better. You know what I'm saying?
Hey.
Help others. And in turn, that like comes back and it helps me. You know what I'm saying? It helps me to grow. It helps me to see things that I wouldn't have seen.
You know something that's crazy?
So, little bro, know this. I'm big into life philosophy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And just to break everything down from what I listened to already, we know what I experienced. And Albert Einstein might have said this, well, I want to misquote it, but man's sole purpose is to service fellow man. No matter what you're doing in life, it's some form of servitude. I'm providing a service, I'm selling you a product,
mm-hmm.
you're serving.
Mm-hmm.
In one form or fashion, you're playing a sport, you're serving entertainment,
mm-hmm.
you know, camaraderie, everything else that sport teams,
competition,
symbolize, yeah. right? If you're an actor, if you're a musician, you're also an entertainer, you're a mood setter,
mm-hmm.
you know, vibe creator,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you're serving,
right?
The more you serve, the better you feel, the better other people feel. You're here for servitude.
What do I say all the time? Life is a service. It ain't for you.
No, it's not. Just think about it. Who's the people that make it to the top?
People that are...
They have...
Giving, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To the masses.
Right.
Serving the masses.
I use an analogy on here. That, like, literally everything that you see around you has a counterpart to it. To the simplest thing of what your clothes are, or what you used to look at me and need something else to operate how it operates, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That synergy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But next thing we're going to talk about here is coping mechanisms and how they affect your ability to live productively. So I want us each to speak on an example of a coping mechanism that we used to lean on, and how it may have affected our productivity
mm-hmm.
or our efficiency
know what I'm saying?
Well, I'll say, I mean, there's like two different versions of coping mechanisms, which is like it's yin and yang everything. You got good ones, distractors, and you got bad ones.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, some of the ones that most people probably associate with, you know, with that term, you know, substance abuse. People that just have to let out, you know, some rage, be destructive. You have people that withdraw, you know, solitude, isolation.
And that's one of mine, for sure.
Right?
For sure.
And then the isolation one, that one's like...
It's right on that fine
right line. On the line. It's split. Because I believe, like, some people isolate, and too much of that isolation becomes a bad thing for them.
Right.
But then there's some people that recharge by isolation.
Also.
Also, right?
Yeah.
So it's that one, that's like a tone call.
Yeah.
But then you also got like positive ones, like, you know, what I've been working on myself is I just turned workaholic on when I'm trying to get out of life. Whatever my goal is, fixated on that. Mm-hmm. And not only by doing that, are you going to work your way out your problem and work closer to your goal, but you're using that energy that could have been spent on something that could have had a negative effect and a detrimental value to you, or flip side, I find something positive, you know? That's why I think a lot of artists, especially big musicians, the most captivating songs and artists are people that talk about stuff that they've been through, mm-hmm. things that they're experiencing,
mm-hmm.
things that other people can what relate to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's their form of coping.
Oh.
They going through some stuff on there. Like you said, you write. Some people write and then they give it as a service. My inner thoughts and feelings.
Right.
On my day to day.
You know what else is crazy? In that Lil Wayne interview, you talk about how he asked him, like, how do you deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
Later on in your life, or how did you deal with it later on?
Mm.
And he said, when my label wouldn't let me drop music,
mm-hmm.
that's when it hit me again. Because he couldn't provide his service.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In no way, like, you, when you're locked into a label, you drop a mixtape, they could sue you, they could do this, do that, you anything. Mm-hmm. You can't send nothing out.
Don't go outside of your...
Right, don't go outside of this
what
contract.
What you signed, yeah.
So... everything has to go through them, so he couldn't do that. And he said, well, I'm gonna just quit. Like, I'm just tired. But you know what I'm saying? His service ain't done. You know what I'm saying? He said, like, since getting back into it and now that he can create music, help others create music, you know what I'm saying? Lift other people up through his music, other artists. All of that, he said, he's like, he smiled. He was like, I'm so happy.
Well, I honestly think that's like one of the biggest forms of depression is like when you're not pursuing the objective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it also starts to eat at you. Like when I was still in the PD and I wanted to make that transition, bro, that was a talk about like a World War III, that was a big internal battle.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got rationale and quote-unquote logic and mm-hmm. everything that everybody else would be telling you and looking at you crazy, like, why are you leaving?
Right, you see where you are? You see where you are?
See where you are, where you could go with this? And why are you leaving this to go? Like, what? Like, you're crazy. Like, you're tripping. Like, I have people tell me you're going to regret this. Could have been a mistake you made. That may sound cliche, but I've literally had people tell me that.
Like, yeah.
This is a big mistake if you do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, having that internal battle.
Right.
But me realizing and knowing that, you know, I was going through a lot of, like, it felt like I was low-key dying inside, bro.
Mm.
I knew exactly what I wanted to do, the direction I needed to go. And the longer I stayed not doing that, bro, I was slowly, like,
you didn't feel the same bro. Excitement. You didn't feel
none
the same.
Of that, bro. It was literally felt like yeah. dying. Like, if I can't do this. I can't keep doing this. Or my soul about to be done. Like, I'm fires out.
I think that's what, like, part of, like, why I've been feeling, or was feeling the way I was feeling. Like, because, like, Kev knows me. Like, everything I do, every job I have, every hobby I have, is to help someone else or something else or a different cause. You know what I'm saying? Not a different cause, but a cause. And lately, like, I'm doing it, getting tired. But usually, like, when you chasing your purpose, when you are giving, when you're providing your service and you're making people happy, you always feel good. You tired, but you like, hey.
You keep that going.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I feel good. The, shoulders fill up, chest out, you know what I'm saying? And lately, it's kind of just been like, my brother's like, oh, thank you so much. I'm like, yeah, cool, man. You're welcome, man. I'm not getting, I wasn't getting that same, like, You know what I'm saying? Because I don't ever need a thank you. That's one thing about me. I don't ever need nobody to thank me for nothing. What I'm doing is, it's God moving, not me. I'm just the vessel, right? I'm just the messenger. You don't hug the mailman, so don't hug me. Right? Like, so, I don't know. And it really, I do it all just for the feeling that I get. Just being that, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Bro, that's the best feeling. Like, and it's crazy because there's a lot of different versions of that. We've got, like, the direct, like, I'm blessing somebody with a gift or physical or whatever, or some service or whatever. But you can also serve people just by sharing your ideas. But with that, like, for example, using the brand. Like, when I had people that really, like, took the time to, like, look at the packaging and, like, read and take in what we're creating with the nautical theme and tying that to life and really taking, like, wow, like, that's really dope. Like, hey, y'all concept
you're
is
gonna
dope.
Hear something, like, real quick. Don't forget where you're going. When I went to be with my uncle and we were working together, he has, like, a big espresso machine and all this. I'm like, look, I'm gonna sell you a brew coffee right now. First thing he said, because he's an artist, like, painting, all that shit, music, whatever. He was like, this shit is so dope. Like, this logo is simple. Yeah, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's modern. It's, he was like, I love this packaging. He's like, I fucking love it. He's like, this shit is so dope. He's like, when my girl gets back, we going to sit down and we're going to figure out what she wants, I want, and we're going to get some.
Say less. Like, but yeah, so like having somebody accept that form of your gift, your creation, and like really appreciate everything that you put into it.
Exactly.
And can see what you saw when you was putting it together. Like, to me, ain't no greater feeling than that. You know, and I know I ain't even reached the level, like, economic-wise where we getting towards, like, it ain't even close to plateauing. But I know once I even get there, that feeling isn't about to outweigh this feeling.
Right.
When somebody accepts, like, your creative gifts on something.
Like, and that brings you that peace of mind. That's that feeling of alignment where you're like, yeah, I'm doing exactly what I need to be doing. Exactly what I'm built for. Exactly what, you know what I'm saying? But then how does that affect us physically? We're talking about emotionally and in our minds. But how does our great mental health and low mental health?
I mean, because no one else figured it out to date. So I know I ain't got it figured out just yet. I'm not going to downplay my genius. But yeah, we don't know the exact correlation between our mind and our conscious and subconscious mindset states in the body. But people do say, you know, that it is believed that staying positive stuff creates positive physical experiences in the body. And like, for example, like when I feel like I'm getting sick, like mentally I tell myself, nah, like you're not sick. Even if I'm over there like, whoop, boy, like, whoop, like, nah, man, like, I'm smooth. Like, feel something coming on, I'm smooth. Like, it's, see my hair, bro, get that out. And I'm a fairly healthy individual, bro. Like, so I think we could
That shit's real.
Yeah, they saw people that think that they're sick and they end up making themselves sick.
Yeah.
Whether that's due to their actions, their mind state, causing effect due to actions, not taking care of themselves, blah, blah, blah. Or if there is some direct correlation between the conscious and subconscious mind and the physiological parts of your body. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But I'm going to play it safe, and I like being around positive anyway. I don't like being around that negative stuff.
Right.
And even talking about like positive and negatives, you should check out a book. They even got the audio book by Napoleon Hill. Mm-hmm. You guys remember Napoleon Hill? Mm-hmm. Mr. Dick and Real Rich.
Yeah.
You know? There's another book that he wrote, but he never published, and they would publish it after he died. It's called My Interview with the Devil.
Mm.
Right? Mm. And so this is post after he wrote The Little Rich. This is in the like midst of the Depression. I think it's like 1933 when he wrote it or something like that. Or it might have been 1938. I forget one of the two. But, and the way he writes this is basically like he's actually having an interview with the devil. Mm. But the devil not in like the light that any religions go paint on or anything like that. But if you had this perspective, we equate God with what? Good, with love,
mm-hmm.
you know, with all these positive things. Mm-hmm. And we've all heard the term battling my demons or people battling their demons. Mm-hmm. His theory, the way he writes it in this book, and my interpretation of it is, what if the battle between good and evil, God and the devil, whatever you want to call it, is the battle between the good energy and just bad energy.
Mm-hmm.
And no particular form, because energy doesn't really have a form.
Yeah.
Right? So your positive thoughts, positive mindset over negative thoughts, negative mindset. Mm-hmm. I could make this shit happen. Now you can't make that shit happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God and the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And every day is a battle.
Mm-hmm.
From the sun up to the sun down.
Perfect picture is that angel on your shoulder and the devil. Devil, right? Yeah.
The good and the bad. Good energy, bad energy. Positive mind state, mindset versus the negative one.
Yeah. Right.
But you're going to listen to the most. Fear, depression, anxiety. That's the playground of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually being inspired, you know, strong work ethic and confidence.
Motivated.
That's works in light of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way he breaks it down is so simplistic, but yet it goes so deep. Like,
yeah.
Right. Damn, yeah.
And then our people even call Earth a lowest level of heaven and the highest level of hell. And if every day you're battling between God and the devil, you got faith in what you aspire to be in life, that it's going to happen. You can make it happen through the power of belief and the power of God and mm-hmm. staying on that type of lane. Mm-hmm. Or are you fearful? You know, fearful, like, we're not going to make it happen. Got a lot of doubt, self-hate, things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go follow along with the devil.
Gotta make a choice.
It's up to you, shit.
And yeah. Try your best to just try better than your best to hear the good over the evil.
Yeah, right.
Don't try just
and not even here, just yeah, actually accept that, do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then catch yourself drifting on the other side of the track and then get back the fuck up.
Get
your ass back up over there.
Losing while you driving this shit. Yeah,
you easing on the other side of the road, my boy.
Yeah.
I want to get in the right lane.
And it's never going to be perfect, ever. But
it's hard both ways.
It's like baseball. On your averages, bro.
Yeah.
Got you on the side you need to be
up,
on.
Up from 500.
Then you're solid.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I like that.
That's it, bro.
Man.
That's it.
Woo! What an episode.
Yep.
We wrap up every episode with lifestyle tip, advice, shout out to anyone. Positive affirmation, challenge for the viewers, or anything that just comes to mind. I got mine written down. It's just going to be a quick statement. Stay true and stay you.
Word.
Stay true and stay you. I like it's that.
All thanks to the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate all my family, loved ones. Challenge for the viewers. Take 30 days. It doesn't have to be, you know, in sequence with the actual calendar months, but take 30 days. write down a goal and hold that before you every day, numerous times throughout the day, and actually work towards that. Catch yourself drift on the opposite side of the track, having some negative thoughts, doubts, disbeliefs. Look at what you wrote down. I don't care if you put it on your phone, put on a note card, piece of paper that you fold up. Look at that and watch that sway that negativity out your mind.
I feel like he's speaking to me. I think he's speaking.
Go back after it. So try it for 30 days and then see what happens. Man. Let us know.
I sure will.
I got a challenge too. Just like always, I don't know how this always happens. The challenge I have is also for myself. Just to write. Put that shit on a piece of paper. That shit's closed, that motherfucker.
That shit is different.
Yeah, I need to, like, I really need to get back into that. So I'm gonna challenge myself and the listeners.
And I really said, like, when I was writing, the things that would come out surprised me. You know what I'm saying? Cause it's just, like you said, a stream of consciousness. I'm like, somebody else read this shit though, and like, no, it wouldn't make no damn sense. But for me, I'm hearing all of it. Like, I see all of it. I'm not, it's like code language or something, you know what I'm saying? But wrapping it up with mental state for the past 24 hours.
That's it, bro.
I'm at a 10 now.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay where I was at the beginning of the episode.
10 ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, been 10 ball.
Yeah. That's a 30, nigga.
30. Yeah. ESPN, nigga. 30. Hell yeah, bro. Thank you again, man.
Yeah, keep
like discussions.
Keep sharing.
Solid.
Oh, nigga. Solid. We got a little stat, bro. What did you send me, bro?
Oh, yeah. So, what is that? ListenNotes.com. It's a platform with 2,622,825 podcasts on there. We're in the top 5% of that 2.2 mil. So that's a big, that's big, bro. And as y'all know, we international in 12 countries.
Yeah.
He's
getting global.
Getting global.
Thank you.
You feel me? Trey, bro. Appreciate you, bro.
Thank
you took this conversation to a whole new level.
Yeah, appreciate it, bro.
Got you.
I might have to start pulling up most
so
often.
Hey, you see? Yeah, you got to. Yeah.
Without a doubt, man.
Yeah, that's easy.
Because another perspective is always beautiful.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, even definitely. If it's the same perspective, just hearing it in a different way.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you feel lighter than you did before the episode?
Oh, all the time. Every time. Why do you think? How did we start off Sailor's Brew? What was the first thing we dropped?
Oh, like the product?
No.
The site?
It was the first major thing we dropped. Remember the first video?
On the beach?
Yes.
Yes.
That's why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're getting towards. And we just went a different route with doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, with the app.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get everything live, that's what we're doing. Yes, always feel lighter.
Yeah.
But you actually taking some of you and pouring it into something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whoever's listening, you pouring it into them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They go take it, interpret it, how they interpret it, digest it.
And then it's going to grow like wildfire.
Yeah.
So yeah, you always feel lighter.
Period. Back to that.
Analogy. Oh. Confirmed.
Yes, sir. So, episode 50 all time.
Yeah, big 5-0.
Appreciate y'all, man. I'm just thankful. We keeping it alive. We staying consistent. Even more just grateful and thankful for, you know, what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Having the ability and the time to sit here and just speak. Because we as black men don't get that chance all the damn time. Not everybody there to hear it. So, the fact that we are up 2,000 plays all the time and people are listening.
Yeah.
To an hour of somebody speaking, to us speaking.
It's
pretty dope.
That's dope. Yeah. It's amazing. And in different countries at that.
Mm-hmm. They might not even know what the fuck to say. I think about it though.
I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah. Just keep listening.
I know a lot of niggas playing overseas right now. Okay. Somewhere. Yeah.
Same.
That don't know shit about what nobody's saying around them. But
that's true. Hey, that motherfucker.
They go on that court and we're going to toast their ass. Or that field or whatever the case is. So, man, if you listening, I'm pretty sure you understand. However you understand it. But
shit, that's it.
That's that. Yep. Our discussions. We out.
We out this motherfucker.
Yep. Safe sounds.
Discuss.